is Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Welcome to Wealth Wake Up this Sunday morning. Dick Donahue with you here on KGMI. Well, is the Fed tight or not? In the waning seconds of one of the most watched women's college basketball games ever, a foul was called. The University of Connecticut was playing the University of Iowa in the semifinals of the Women's NCAA Championship Tournament. Officials called a UConn player for an illegal screen on an Iowa defender, which helped Iowa win the game. This happened Friday night. And on X, formerly Twitter, the debate about this call still rages. But in spite of the debate, the game is over. On Sunday, Iowa lost to South Carolina in the finals, and the world moves on. Meanwhile, in the realm of economics, a different debate rages. Is the Federal Reserve tight or not? Ultimately, there is an ironclad two-part test to determine if monetary policy is tight. First, was the economy weakened below trend growth? More clearly, is GDP falling or unemployment rising? And second, has inflation persistently declined? If those things have happened, it's hard to argue monetary policy has been tight. At present, we're tracking real GDP growth at about 2% annual rate in the first quarter, which is close to the long-term average. This follows all of 2023 and the last two quarters of 22, where quarterly real economic growth was faster than 2% each and every quarter. At the same time, unemployment remains below 4%. In other words, we haven't yet had an economic slump consistent with tight money. For inflation, after dropping from what appears to be a supply chain-induced spike of about 9% in mid-22, CPI inflation fell to 3.1% in mid-23. But lately, CPI inflation has stopped its decline. Consumer prices rose 0.4% in March, and the Cleveland Fed CPI Now forecast currently projects 0.3% for April as well. If so, the overall CPI will be up 3.5% in April versus the year prior. So both real growth and inflation show little impact from Fed tightening. In spite of many of the traditional measures of monetary policy signaling tightness, for example, the M2 measure of the money supply peaked in April 22 is down 4.3% since. We haven't had a drop like that since the early 1930s during the Great Depression. Yes, the monetary base is up 10.7% in the last year, but unless that base money is converted into M2, it likely has little impact. Following the 2008 and 2009 financial crisis, quantitative easing didn't turn into M2 and inflation remained tame. But during COVID, or QE, did cause M2 to spike and inflation jumped. Meanwhile, the slope of the yield curve between the target federal funds rate and the 10-year treasury yield has been inverted since late 22, a typical sign of tight money. And while not as clear-cut, the federal funds rate has been 2 percentage points or more above inflation in the past 6 months. While we would say that these rates are roughly neutral, not really helping or hurting growth, this is a huge change from the 2009 to 21 period where rates were held well below inflation. So think of it this way. Imagine you're trying to freeze water at sea level. A thermometer shows the temperature is 25 degrees Fahrenheit and the water isn't freezing. Does this mean the laws of chemistry and physics have been repealed? Of course not. Any sensible person would think that the thermometer must be broken. Or maybe the liquid you're trying to freeze isn't water after all. Which brings us to one signal of monetary tightness that hasn't been triggered yet. History suggests that interest rates should be roughly equal to nominal GDP, which is real GDP growth plus inflation, a cousin of what is called the Taylor rule. Normal GDP is up 5.9% in the past year and at a 6.5% annual rate in the last 2 years. Yet the federal funds rate is just 5.4%. That's not tight money. Maybe that's the measure of tightness that we should be following all along. In other words, maybe one of the reasons we haven't yet experienced economic turbulence is that monetary policy hasn't been as tight as most investors thought. If so, it could take much longer to bring inflation down to that 2% target that the Fed expects. And that means short-term rates could stay higher for much longer. In turn, that would mean more economic pain ahead than most investors are currently expecting. Some calls are hard to make, no matter how much time is left in the game. Let's look at our global roundup for the week. We're seeing fewer and later rate cuts are expected. Global equities were lower on the week amid renewed fears that the war in the Middle East could widen and future interest rate cuts will be smaller and later than anticipated. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note rose 13 basis points from a week ago to 4.51% after Wednesday's stronger inflation data and traded as high as 4.585 earlier in the week. West Texas Intermediate crude oil held near recent highs above $87 a barrel, while Brent crude hit its highest level since October over concerns that Iran may directly attack Israel in coming days, and that, of course, has happened. Volatility is measured by the CBOE Volatility Index, or VIX, extended its gains, reaching 17.8. Well, looking at macro news, there is a trend. After three hotter-than-expected CPI readings in a row, investors scrambled this week to adjust their expectations for rate cuts by the U.S. Federal Reserve downward. Ahead of Wednesday's data, markets had expected between 2 and 3 rate cuts before year-end, the first likely in July. But after that 0.4% month-over-month rise in both headline and core March CPI, the market is now pricing in only 1 between and maybe 2 cuts, while the first not fully expected until September. That's a remarkable swing since early January when markets were pricing in 0.75 rate cuts. While Thursday's producer price data was less worrisome than the consumer data, market pricing was little changed compared to the post-CPI price action. The U.S. 10-year Treasury note yield spiked more than 20 basis points in the intermediate CPI aftermath and remained elevated at 4.51%. In the wake of the data, Fed officials mostly emphasized that the central bank is in no hurry to adjust policy, has time to wait for more data. The next key inflation data point is core PCE on the 26th of April. And the European Central Bank has set the stage for a June rate cut. They held rates steady at its meeting Thursday, but ECB President Christine Lagarde acknowledged that a few members of the governing council were already prepared to lower interest rates at this week's meeting, though a large majority wanted to wait until June when they have more data. A move to lower rates is not dependent on the Fed, she said. And we saw President Biden pledges closer ties with Japan and the Philippines after a meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Kishida and Philippines President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The U.S. President Joe Biden vowed closer military ties between the three countries to counter China's increasing influence in the Pacific. In recent days, China has taken aggressive action towards the Philippine boats around the Spratly Islands, over which China claims control despite a 2016 ruling by an international tribunal rejecting China's claims. President Marcos has nearly doubled the number of bases in the Philippines that U.S. troops have access to and is holding talks with Japan on allowing the presence of Japanese forces on Philippine soil. Biden said on Thursday that any attack by China on aircraft, vessels, or armed forces of the Philippines will invoke a mutual defense treaty. And the Fed's Open Market Committee minutes confirm slower QT pace. Minutes of the March meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee show policymakers judge that the central bank was well positioned to respond to evolving economic conditions and risks in the outlook, including the possibility of maintaining the current restrictive policy stance for longer than disinflation processes slow. With the inflation picture darkening since the meeting, markets are taking the Fed at its word that rate cuts are less likely than they were several weeks ago. Officials favored cutting the $60 billion monthly runoff of treasuries on the Fed's balance sheet by roughly half fairly soon, but expect to maintain a $30 billion monthly cap on mortgage-backed securities. And a couple quick hits here. Bloomberg reported on Friday morning that Israel is bracing for a potential direct attack from Iran as early as today, or Saturday, so it did happen, in retaliation to last week's Israeli attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus. and Fitch Ratings downgraded the outlook for China's sovereign debt on Wednesday to negative from stable, citing increasing risk as the government tries to pull the economy out of a real estate-driven slowdown. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up. We'll be right back.
You know those friends who say, stop by anytime, and you're like, you don't really mean that. Well, unlike those friends, Dewey Griffin Subaru's Express Certified Subaru Tire and Service Center means it. They're open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Stop by anytime you need an oil change or any other minor maintenance, and they'll take care of you. No appointment necessary, and you'll get a free car wash with your service. Dewey Griffin Subaru, community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru Certified Tire and Service Center in Whatcom County.
P&W Perks has given you a chance to create amazing memories that will last a lifetime for half the price this week with Outer Island Excursions. Dive into the heart of nature with Killer Whale Tours, home of the guaranteed killer whale sightings. With Outer Island Excursions, you'll experience the thrill of seeing majestic creatures in their natural habitat. Their high-speed boats, manned by trained naturalists, will whisk you away on an unforgettable adventure. Perfect for all ages, tours offer an inspiring way to spend time with your loved ones. Picture yourself surrounded by stunning views, creating unique memories with your family and friends. Don't miss out on the feast for the senses that await you this summer. Visit orcawatching.com and reserve your tours before dates fill up. Outer Island Excursions is not just a tour, it's a journey into the awe-inspiring beauty and untamed wilderness. Create exhilarating memories with Outer Island Excursions and P&W Perks. Visit pnwperks.com to get half off at Outer Island Excursions this Thursday at 8 a.m. That's at pnwperks.com.
KGMI connects with Joe Tian.
I grow a lot of vegetables, and I've tried numerous ways to control aphids. The only thing that I've found that works is a systemic treatment.
Okay.
And every fiber of that plant is treated.
Join us each weekday at 4 p.m. for KGMI Connects.
I don't think that racism is in every fiber of our society.
On KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and MyBellinghamNow.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning. We're Asset Advisors. We are located out on the Pacific Highway next to Wilson's Furniture in the Pacific Commerce Center. Our address is 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101, Ferndale. Our phone number, 360-733-1200. And check out our website at wealthwakeup.com. Okay, continuing with our global roundup. At the request of Ukrainian President Zelensky, the Swiss government is going to host a two-day high-level conference in June aimed at achieving peace in Ukraine. It said on Wednesday, although Russia has made it clear that it will not take part in the initiative. And amid higher U.S. bond yields following the week's upside inflation surprise, the Japanese yen fell to 153.32. That's its lowest level against the U.S. dollar since 1990. The currency slide is raising the odds that the Bank of Japan is raising its policy rate above zero in the months ahead. And the U.S. budget deficit widened to $1.07 trillion in the first half of fiscal year 24. That's up 4% year over year. Producer prices in China continued to deflate, falling 2.8% year over year in March, while consumer prices rose a scant 0.1% over the same period. And the International Monetary Fund warned this week that private credit could heighten systemic vulnerabilities given the limited oversight of the asset class. The Biden administration proposes to cancel up to $20,000 in unpaid interest for student loan borrowers who owe more than their initial loan amount. Individual borrowers who earn $120,000 or less and married couples who earn $240,000 or less would be eligible to have their interest wiped from their balance. An earlier Biden plan to forgive certain student loans was invalidated by the U.S. Supreme Court. And investors allocated $65.6 billion to active ETFs in the first quarter. That's more than 50% higher than the previous record of $41 billion in the fourth quarter of 23. Assets under management in these vehicles rose to $758 billion, according to Morningstar. And we saw consumer confidence in Japan rose for its sixth straight month in March, reaching its highest level since May of 2019. The Bank of Canada held rates steady at its meeting. Wednesday, Governor Tiff Macklin told a press conference that policymakers are seeing what they need to see on inflation, but said that they'd like to see the trend continue to gain confidence that price stability can be maintained. Swaps markets were fully priced in a July rate cut. And within days, President Biden is expected to formalize a ban on production of oil and gas on roughly half of the 23 million acres that were set aside in the past in Alaska's North Slope to serve as an emergency oil reserve. Leaseholders in the region are expected to fight the ban. Administration officials argue that changes are necessary to balance oil development with protection of sensitive landscapes that provide habitat for polar bears, migratory birds, and caribou. And the U.S. government has proposed raising tens of billion dollars in funding for Ukraine, secured by the future profits generated by Russian state assets frozen by Western countries, according to the Financial Times. We also had a report authored by former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke for the Bank of England that found significant shortcomings in the Bank of England's baseline economic model. Outdated software and a variety of makeshift fisks has kept the bank's staff from producing alternative scenarios swiftly, the report said. Bernanke was commissioned to undertake the review after the Bank of England, like most central banks, failed to anticipate the inflation surge that resulted from economic shocks on the pandemic era and the war in Ukraine. Bernanke encouraged the Bank of England to give markets clear guidance on rates, but stopped short of advocating for a Fed-style dot plot, something he introduced during his tenure at the U.S. Central Bank. And a little bit more in depth on this March CPI report, that's Consumer Price Index, where there's evidence that monetary policy is tight. Consumer prices rose 0.4% in March, pushing the 12-month comparison up to 3.5%. At this point, it looks clear that the progress against inflation made from mid-22 to mid-23 has stalled. Consumer prices were up 9.1% in the year ending in June of 22. And while many thought the drop back to 3% in the year ending in June of 23 was all due to the Fed, it is likely influenced greatly by the supply chain disruption and recovery. With CPI inflation back to 3.5% from a year ago, it is clear that the problem has not gone away. Looking at the details, March inflation was boosted by energy prices, which rose 1.1% on the back of higher prices for gasoline. However, it is important to point out that energy has not been the culprit in the stubbornly high inflation readings over the last year. Energy prices are up 2.1% in the same time frame. That's versus 3.5% for overall prices. So stripping out energy and its often volatility counterparts, food, to get core prices does not make the inflation picture look any better. That measure rose 0.4% in March for the third consecutive month. And while the 12-month comparison remained at 3.8%, proving that underlying pricing pressures remain stubbornly high, rental inflation, both for actual tenants and imputed rental value of the month, and running at or above 5% annualized rate over 3, 6, and 12-month timeframes. Housing rents have been a key driver of inflation in the last year, and we expect it to continue to do so as it makes up a third of the weighting in the overall index and still hasn't caught up with the rise in home prices in the past 4 years. But the most troublesome piece of the report for the Federal Reserve came from movement in the subset category of prices that the Fed itself has told investors to watch closely, known as the supercore, which excludes food and energy and other goods and housing rents, and is a useful gauge of inflation of the services sector. After large monthly increases in January and February, that measure jumped another 0.6% in March, driven by higher prices for motor vehicle insurance up 2.6% and medical care services up 0.6%. In the last 12 months, this measure is up 4.8%, has been accelerating as of late, of 8.2% and 6.1% annualized rates in the last 3 and 6 months, respectively. And while inflation remains stubbornly high, workers are no longer being compensated for it. Case in point, real average hourly earnings were unchanged in March. These earnings are up 0.6% in the last year, a headwind for future growth in consumer spending. So putting this all together, the Fed has little reason at this point to start cutting rates, and how they respond in the incoming economic data in the months ahead could determine whether we repeat in the inflationary 1970s. And we had the producer price index report come out this week, and did you hear that sound? It's the door creaking closed on the chances for a June rate cut. While producer price index rose a modest 0.2%, that comes on the back of above trend increases for the prior 2 months. All over the first 3 months of 24, producer prices rose at a 4.4% annualized pace, while year-ago comparison on the rise now back above 2% for the first time since April of last year. So paired with consumer price data showing inflation reaccelerating, the Fed is unlikely to feel the confidence in inflation fight is won. Looking at March itself, lower energy costs help keep producer prices contained, down 1.6% on the back of falling gasoline prices, while food prices, another typical volatile category, rose 0.8% on a jump in costs for processed poultry. So stripping out these two components shows core prices rose 0.2% in March, following an outsized 0.5% increase in January and a 0.3% rise in February. And while the Fed can take some solace in noting that the 12-month rise in core prices has eased since peaking at 9.7% back in March of 22, they remain up 2.4% in the last 12 months and accelerated to a 4.2% annual rise rate over the first 3 months of 24. That 2% core inflation in March has led services up by 0.3%. Goods prices outside of food and energy rose 0.1%. So the largest price increase came from securities brokerage, commercial equipment, wholesaling, and airline passenger services, which were partially offset by lower costs for traveler accommodations and auto retailing. Further back in the pipeline, processed goods fell 0.5% in March, or down 1.7% in the last year, while unprocessed goods declined 1.7% in March, or down 7.1% in the last year. Further easing in inflation will come should the Fed have the patience to let tighter money policy do its work. But inflation risks rearing its ugly head once again should the Fed falter and rate cut rates too quickly. The markets and the Fed itself seem increasingly doubtful the rate cuts are near, and the good reason. In another news, initial claims for jobless benefits fell 11,000 last week to 211,000, while continuing claims rose 28,000 to 1.817 million. The figures are consistent with continued job gains in April. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. Thanks for listening. We're out of here. Short program today. Got a little hockey coming.